So who is a witness? A witness is defined as a person who sees an event. Someone who sees an event. Another definition says someone who has knowledge of a development, either from observation or from experience. So the person has knowledge of a development or has knowledge of a thing, either from observation or from experience. Now, witnesses are very powerful. And when you look at one of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16, let's take a look at Exodus 20 and verse 16. You know, God was given just 10 commandments, 10 commandments that are supposed to, you know, govern these people and rule their lives and direct their affairs and all of that stuff. And God was given all of these commandments. And in the same commandment where he says, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, in Exodus 20 and verse 16, it says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. For this to be in the commandment, it means that this is something that is of a great consequence. Otherwise, God would not bother himself saying, you know, don't bear false witness. But for God to take, I mean, think about it. You have just 10 things you want to say to these people that should govern their entire existence. And you take one out of those 10 to be, do not bear false witness. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 16 from verse 16 to 19. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. It says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. So again, the Bible is telling us that there are six things that the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. And on that list again, it says God hates a false witness that speaks lies. Why? Because a witness has the power to facilitate the condemnation or the deliverance of a person. So a witness has the power to facilitate the condemnation or the deliverance of a person. So a false witness can make you condemn an innocent person, while a false witness can also make you deliver a guilty person. You see why this is serious before God. Now let's take a look at something. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 25. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. A true witness. Please, I want us to keep that at the back of our minds because we're going to talk about it tonight. A true witness delivers souls. A true witness delivers souls. You see, a witness is so important that even our salvation is validated by a witness. Our salvation is validated by a witness. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our own spirit that we are children of God. Okay, so when somebody asks you, how do you know you are born again? You know you are born again not because you said the sinner's prayer. You know you are born again because the Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. The Bible says that the Spirit has been given to us as a guarantee. He is the one that tells us you are saved. Okay? So, I'm just saying this in way of, you know, building a foundation for some of the things that we're going to be talking about tonight. Okay, the testament of a witness is one of the most powerful tools in a judicial system. The testimony of a witness is one of the most powerful tools in a judicial system. And you see, even the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was being tried, the Jews had to go and manufacture false witnesses to try him, because witnesses are that powerful. A witness can facilitate the condemnation or the deliverance of a person. It's that powerful. And we're going to see very quickly how this relates to us. Now, let's take a look at this scripture. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 first. Let's look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 first. And then we'll build from there. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." He said, after you have received power, he didn't say the power is just going to make you speak in tongues. He said, this power is going to make you witnesses of me. Witnesses. Witnesses. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth, or to the ends of the earth, or to the whole earth. Now, when you look at the New Living Translation, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So when this power comes upon you, you will be witnesses. Now let's look at one scripture and then we'll move from here. One more scripture. Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 1. Please, if you have the New Living Translation, switch to the New Living Translation. It's very interesting. Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, "If you are called to testify about something you have seen, or that you know about, it is sinful to refuse to testify, and you will be punished for your sins." I'll read it again. "If you are called to testify about something you have seen or that you know about, it is sinful to refuse to testify, and you will be punished for your sin." Now the question is, have we been called to testify about anything? Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Jesus said, after you have received the Holy Ghost, you shall be witnesses. What do witnesses do? They testify and they declare that which they have seen, or that which they have heard, or that which they have experienced. Okay, so every believer is called to testify. Every believer is called to be a witness. Every believer is called to declare that which they have received and that which they have experienced from the Lord. Mark chapter 16 from verse 15, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them." Okay? And the Bible says, "And the disciples went," okay? "And the Lord was with them, working with and confirming their words with signs following." Okay, so you see, Jesus gave a commandment for his disciples to be witnesses. In Mark chapter 16 verse 16, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, "When you receive this thing, go out there and declare it. Go out there and be witnesses. Go out there and tell people. Tell people what you have seen. Tell people what you have heard. Tell people what you have experienced." Let's look at John chapter 1 and verse 1. First John chapter 1 and verse 1 rather. First John chapter 1 and verse 1. Now listen to John. He said, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So you see, John is saying the things which we heard, the things which we saw, the things which we touched, which we handled, which we experienced, these are the things we are talking to you about. Okay? And this is what Jesus was saying. Go and tell people what you have seen. Tell people what you have heard. Tell people what you have experienced. As a believer, at some point in your life, you must have had an experience with God, with the Spirit of God. And we are mandated to go out there and tell people about what we have experienced. And so people say, "Oh, I don't know how to preach. What do I tell people?" Tell them what you have experienced. The woman at the well of Samaritan, the Samaritan woman, you know, the woman at the well at Samaria, she didn't go to any theological seminary. She didn't go to a Bible school. In fact, it was her first day of meeting Jesus. But guess what? She went into the city and told them what she had experienced. And the truth is, when it comes to witnessing, we don't need to be Christian apologists. We don't need to know the Bible in Greek and Hebrew. We don't need to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. No, no, no. All you need to do is tell people what you have experienced. That is witnessing. Witnessing is telling people what you have witnessed. It's as simple as that. And a lot of people are not witnessing because they have not witnessed anything. I did a teaching some time ago about cultural Christianity. The podcast is out there. You can listen to it again. A lot of people were born in church and, you know, they were baptized and they just grew up in a religious setting, and they call themselves Christians. When they fill a form, they write religion, Christianity. Okay, they understand the Bible, they know a thing or two, but they've never had an encounter with the Lord. They've never, you know, my boss, Mr. Tayo, was telling me some time ago, he said he thought he was born again until he actually became born again. But all the while, he thought he was born again until he actually became born again. And try to imagine how many people are in that category that actually think that they are born again because they wake up every morning and do morning devotion. They go to church every Sunday and probably every Wednesday for midweek service. They are in the choir, they are ushers, they are this, they are that. But they've never had an experience. They've never had an encounter with the Lord. See, so the reason a lot of people don't witness is because they have not witnessed anything. If you have witnessed something, if God has done something in your life, you should be witnessing. If you go through the Bible, there was nobody that truly encountered Christ that kept it to themselves. Nobody. Nobody that encountered Christ and kept it to themselves. Even the ones he told to shut up, they could not shut up. Even the ones he told, "Don't tell anybody, just go home," they could not, because there is a compelling force about an encounter with Christ that makes us want to tell people about what God has done in our lives, about the goodness of God in our lives. So if you don't feel compelled to talk to someone about what God has done in your life or what God is doing in your life, then we begin to question if you have truly had an encounter with God. Have we been called to testify about what we have seen and what we have experienced and what we know about God? The answer is yes. So if we refuse to witness, if we refuse to testify, not just about salvation, not just about eternal life, but about the goodness of God in our lives. So when I'm talking about witnessing here, I'm not just talking about, I was lost once, now I am saved. No, for some persons, that is not what they need. They are already saved, but they still need witnessing. They still need to hear more about the goodness of God. They still need to hear about the mercy of God. They still need to hear about the grace of God. And when you have experienced the grace of God, when you have experienced the goodness of God, if God has changed your life, and that is why I have a problem with ministers of the gospel that have had struggles in one area or the other, but they keep it to themselves. Okay, they keep it to themselves because they feel like it's embarrassing to even admit that they had those struggles. But no, when we declare what God has done for us, like, hey guys, I was struggling with this habit, but God still used me in a mighty way, and I was struggling with the habit, but now I am free from it. Do you know how many people that are in that shackle will receive hope and help? Because they also are in it and they are struggling with it and they are thinking, oh, God is going to destroy me. And then when they hear your testimony, like, oh, but I was dealing with this, or I was dealing with that, or I was in this situation, I was that in that situation, but God showed me mercy. You know, he still used me, he still blessed me, and now I am free. You know, because the Bible says that it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. You see, these things are important. When we hear, you know, Donnie McClurkin struggled with homosexuality for many years, for almost 20 years, he struggled with homosexuality. And he came out, and his story is not a secret, and told people that I struggled with homosexuality. And do you know how many people, how many mothers go to him and tell him, please, can you help my son? Because suddenly they realize, oh, this is somebody that was in this same situation and God helped him. And maybe he can show us how God helped him so that he can help me too, or he can help my son, or he can help my brother. Okay, so our refusal to witness. Remember the scripture we read in Proverbs chapter 14, where it says that a true witness. Let's just read it again. I don't want to misquote it. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 25. It says, a truthful witness saves life. Saves lives. A truthful witness saves lives. Okay? A truthful witness saves lives. So if you go out there and say the truth about what God has done for you, it brings about deliverance. The New King James Translation says, a true witness delivers souls. Just the same way a false witness can condemn a person that shouldn't be condemned. It's the same way a true witness, a faithful witness, can bring about deliverance. And people hear your story and they hear what God has done in your life, and suddenly they have faith, suddenly they have hope, and they are saying, if God could do this in the life of this person, he can do it in my life too. As a matter of fact, they can hear your story and think, "Ooh, mine is not even that bad. So if God got him out, God can get me out as well." Amen. It is a sin not to be a witness. Now let's just read a few scriptures and then we'll try and wrap this up. Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 23. It says, sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Proclaim it. Don't keep it to yourself. And when we talk of salvation, we're not just talking of being saved from sin. We're talking of his deliverance. We're talking of his help in every area of our life. It says, proclaim his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. Whatever God has done to you, whatever God has done for you, whatever God has done in your life, Declare it. Declare it. Declare it. Okay. Let's look at Psalm 9 and verse 11. Psalm 9 verse 11. It says, sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. Declare his deeds among the people. Psalm 22 and verse 22. It says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 4. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 4. It says, and in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. These are commandments. Okay? It is our duty to declare the things that we have experienced and that we have received and that we have witnessed. So remember, when I talk about witnessing, I'm not just talking about, I need to go and talk to unbelievers. Yes, that is in fact, that is the most important aspect of it. But I'm saying even among a body of believers, we should declare the things which we have seen, which we have received, which we have experienced. Now, why should we declare the things that God has done in our lives? Number one, when we do that, we recognize that it is God that is the doer. And it's not us. It did not happen by chance. It's not any. We recognize that God is the doer. So when we declare what God has done, we are praising him and acknowledging that he is the doer. And number two, why we should declare is that we are honoring him by letting everybody know that this is what God has done in my life. Number three, why should we declare? It helps to feed the faith of other people. It helps to feed the faith of other people. I have seen meetings where somebody just came and shared his testimony of how God saved him from a messy life. And they came and gave altar call, and hundreds of persons are coming up. Because they just think, oh wow, the same God that turned your life around, if God could turn your life around, he can turn my life around as well. Now, why do people not declare things that they have experienced? Why do people not witness? Number one, they forget. You know, this is a harsh reality about life and about the world we live in. People forget the good done to them and they remember the evil done to them, or they remember the good withheld from them. But there's a way we can receive goodness so much that we just trivialize it and we just consider it as normal, as routine, and we don't even think it's a big deal anymore. You sleep and wake up, not a big deal. You know, your heart, kidney, everything's functioning properly, and it's not a big deal. COVID has been catching everybody, but you are free and you're fine. Or you probably caught it and other people died, but you came out of it. It's not a big deal. No, it is a big deal. It is a big deal. I think every once in a while, Christians just need to go around hospitals and see people struggling to do what you are doing naturally. See people struggling to eat. See people struggling to breathe. See people that have no sense of smell. See people that can't see properly. See people that can't hear properly. It will help us to have a better appreciation. But it's sad if we have to be exposed to that for us to appreciate. But the thing is, we forget the goodness of God. We forget that a lot of the things that we are having on a platter are things that so many persons are struggling to have. You are angry because something you prayed for 5 years ago, God has not given it to you, or God has not done it for you. The fact that you can remember that God has not done it for you is a blessing. Because there are people that cannot remember things. People with Alzheimer's, people with Huntington's, they can't remember things. So even the things that we are angry about, when we really sit down and think about them, we realize it's actually a blessing to be in this. Oh, I am hungry. Oh, wow. I even have an appetite. It's a blessing. Okay, but people forget, and you cannot declare what you forget. And too many people are guilty of this. You cannot declare what you forget. If someone does something nice for you, I mean, we do it to people, we do it to God as well. If someone does something nice for you, tell somebody, share it with somebody. Don't come out and pretend and look like you've never received help in your life, or nobody has contributed to whatever you are doing. You know, you are just... Declare it. Number two, the reason people don't declare is because they are proud or they are shy. They kind of work hand in hand. Shyness is actually an expression of pride. I've talked about this before. I can't go into it tonight, but it is an expression of pride because it's focusing on self. And instead of us focusing on Christ and what Christ has made us, we're focusing on ourselves and our inadequacies. Okay? And anything that makes us focus on ourselves, that is the foundation for pride. Because pride is all about self. Humility is about self-denial. Pride is about self-acknowledgement. That is what pride is. We did a two-part teaching some time ago on the pride factor. I'm sure most of us were around for that teaching. I really don't even have the time to go into all the details. But a lot of people do not declare because they are too proud. Say, so people now see me now standing and be preaching to people. No, me, I can't. I'll just make a Facebook post. So I now have to come and start sharing testimony that I was in debt of 30 million and then God delivered me from it. No, people cannot even know that I was owing money in the first place. They can't even know, so no, I'm not going to share this testimony. A lot of people don't declare because of pride. The Bible says it is a sin not to testify. It is a sin. Number three reason why people don't declare is they procrastinate. And a lot of people are waiting for the perfect time. Say, when my testimony is complete, you know, when my testimony is complete, I will testify. You know, things like that. I want to show us a scripture. In Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4, it says, "He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." Now, the Living Bible says, if you wait for a perfect condition, you will never get anything done. If you wait for a perfect condition, you will never get anything done. And one reason people don't, you know, it's because people are just, they just want, you know, the perfect scenario. I'm going to witness to people. Let me just wait. Let this thing be all right. This environment is too noisy. No. Let my testimony be complete first. No. You know, we just make excuses, and we have the best. We have to actually have genuine intentions. But we continue to procrastinate and procrastinate and procrastinate until we eventually forget. And finally, tonight, why people don't witness is because they lack credibility. They lack credibility. Now, you see, in law, I said earlier that one of the most powerful elements in a in litigation is the witness. But if you can discredit a witness, that witness is nullified. Nothing that witness says can be taken into account anymore. It doesn't matter if the witness is saying the truth or not. If you are able to discredit a witness, if you are able to put a witness's credibility and integrity into question, you have neutralized that witness. So if, for instance, somebody is coming to testify and you can prove to the court that this person has a history of dishonesty, or this person lied on this document, or this person falsified documents, or this person gave a wrong account at so time, doesn't matter if it was 10 years ago, you have already cast doubt on the credibility of that witness, and it makes it almost impossible for whatever that witness says to be admitted into evidence. Now, why is this relevant? A lot of Christians cannot witness because we lack credibility. You are a boss, and you are a wicked boss. You are the lion of the tribe of your company. Everybody's afraid of you. And then you now come and say you want to invite them to your church. If they go to your church, it's out of fear, not because of anything else. They are just afraid that you might victimize them if they don't go. And I've seen this happen so many times, even as far back as secondary school. Those prefects that were very wicked, they will flog students for any reason. And they were also ex-cos in FCS. And then they will come to our classes and say they want to preach to us. We were not listening to them. We did not answer them. The people that maybe answered them was because, this wicked prefect, maybe if I respond positively, he will look upon me favorably and not flog me next time. But not because of anything else. You know, and this is the problem, because you have a track record of scamming people. You have a track record of lying to people. You have a track record of sleeping with anything in skirts. And then you go to these same people and say you want to be a witness. Witness what? To who? To who? And that is the truth. The reason a lot of people are not even confident about declaring God and declaring the goodness of God and declaring what God has done in their lives is because they have done so much damage to their reputation. They cannot even publicly identify with God because they know that they have not, their lives have not been consistent with a character that is to be identified with God. And I have seen this happen over and over and over again. You know, some persons cannot even come out to post scriptures on their social media because all your friends on social media will be like, they post scripture, you know, and you will not blame them. They are not judging. No, they are not judging. Okay, so let's see. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 14. It says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual," take note of this, "judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one." He who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's read this in conclusion tonight. So is there any of you having a matter, from verse 1, "There any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to you to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren. Okay? So when we say don't judge, it is important that we have these things in perspective. Everybody, don't judge me, don't judge me. No, we will judge you. Sorry. We will judge you. We won't condemn you, but we will judge you. There's a difference. Okay? I mean, it's happening everywhere. People just living reckless lives, and then they come around and say, no, don't judge me, don't judge me, don't judge me. The reason you are saying don't judge me is because you know that you are deserving of judgment. Look, in fact, even Jesus did not say don't judge. He said the same measure with which you judge, that's the same measure with which you will be judged. All right? Jesus did not just say don't judge. He said, if you don't want to be judged, then don't judge. But what if you want to be judged? Then go ahead and judge. Right? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, I think it is. It says, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So it's a matter of equivalence. Okay? But the Bible is clear. The spiritual man judges all things. And so people should not just come and say, don't judge me. And we've taken that out of context, and we've used it and abused it and misused it, you know. But the truth is, in the body of Christ, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1, we are supposed to judge among ourselves. We are supposed to, Paul said, he said, we will judge the world. We will judge angels. So is it our brethren we cannot judge amongst ourselves? You know, so please, it's important we don't take those scriptures out of context, in all honesty. So, like I said in the final point, the reason a lot of people cannot witness is because they lack credibility. If you assassinate the character of a witness, he becomes neutralized. If you can cast doubts on the credibility of a witness, the person is neutralized. So you are coming to stand in court, and if the opposition lawyer knows what he's doing and he can dig up dirt on you and make the judge see that you are not a credible witness, at that point, it does not matter if what you are saying is the truth. It will not be admissible in court, because they have already cast doubt on your character and on your integrity and on your personality. So you see, this is where our personality plays a big role in our testimony. It's not just enough to testify. It's not just enough to be a witness. It's not just enough to declare. Our personality and our character gives weight to our testimony. So even though some persons are declaring, they are doing their bit and trying to declare, their personality and their character and their integrity is damaging their testimony.